Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
Well, the planters are rolling in the eastern Corn Belt, but things aren't looking so good there. Will it simply mean an opportune year for farmers out west, or might the trade find real reason to worry between the mud and the dust? We'll ask these questions and many more today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt. In Chicago at the CME Group's Chicago Board of Trade and livestock site, settlement prices for the week finished like this. We give you the high, the low, and that's the composite day and overnight trade for the week. July in the wheat pit at 618 for its high, the low at 563 and a quarter. The settlement price at 612 and a half, up 35 cents, and July of 2010 in the soft red, settled $6.90 and three quarters of a cent, 34 and three quarters of a cent higher from Friday to Friday in the wheat pit. July corn this week at a high of 434 and three quarters, a low at 406 and a quarter, and settled the week as we went into the Memorial Day holiday at 406 and a quarter, 13 cents higher. December futures at 452, up 13 and a half cents from last Friday. July soybean futures at $11.89 on the high, the low at 11.13 and a half, settled 35 and a half higher at 11.66. November beans at $10.31 and a half, finished 55 and three quarter cents higher. June live cattle futures an 82.52 and a half settlement price, up 15 cents with a top of 83 and a bottom at 81.40. And the August feeders settled at 101.92 and a half, up $2.92 and a half. June lean hog futures 67.30 for the high, the low at 64.80. A settlement price there at 65.97 and a half. The June lean hog settled 55 cents lower on the week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am Todd Gleason. This is a special holiday edition of Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, recorded on Friday, May the 22nd, 2009. Our panelists in studio today are Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Gentlemen, let's open today's discussion with this question. What scares you most about the uneasiness that seemed to develop in the commodity markets as we edged into the holiday weekend? We'll start with you, Pete Manhart.
I think the beans, old crop, were scary because China's buying is supposedly to fund all their stuff and have all that there. It was supposed to end in June, and nobody knows whether that's the 1st of June or the end of June, so that's scary.
And Mike Georgie of Allendale.
Yeah, I think the corn market, everybody seems to be bullish. The outside markets are bullish to the grains, the dollar's lower, crude oil's holding its own. But, yeah, we couldn't break them support levels. This week, I think this how much we get planted this week is going to be a big decision maker. I mean, we looked at last year when we had one big week of planting, we hit a high and we reversed about 8% at that time. So, you know, I think we need some more good news. But I think as we get done planting, a lot of the scariness is over with.
Your expectations for this to be a very, very big week and for the reports from USDA on planting progress to show what on Tuesday of next week?
Well, I think Illinois could be 50% plus this week very easily. It depends if we get the rain tomorrow, if it holds off till Sunday. That's what I was nervous about today because nobody could decide if it was going to rain or not rain. But I think Illinois could really pick up a lot, and you know, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota will probably be finished with their corn.
If that is the case, Pete, will the trade be satisfied that a crop can be raised in Illinois and the Eastern Corn Belt?
I think they're satisfied that a crop will be raised. The question is, will it be at 152 or 155 or 157? And I think the planting progress will be huge in the Eastern Corn Belt. Ohio got a ton done. Illinois got a ton done. I think we'll see over 50% increase from last week, which was 20 in Illinois and 24. So I think you're looking at minimum 70% in Illinois and Indiana, and it could be 10 higher than that.
Will we settle finally the discussion about change from corn acres to bean acres with the idea that in Illinois and probably most of the Eastern Corn Belt, farmers who ordered bags of corn used bags of corn?
I think for the most part that's true, but there are a few everywhere scattered through the Midwest that have already decided because they had a late fall, didn't get it done, that they're going to plant a field or two more of beans. I think the biggest problem on the beans is, what about those 7+ million acres the government said we're going to put nothing in on it? I think that's where we could get a lot more bean acres.
Do you think they're really going to show up? If so, where?
I think they'll show up on the fringes all over, another million or 2 acres from that 7.2 million that the government said we're planting to nothing.
So that would be, and you think, I'm assuming that you're thinking that'll happen in the Western Corn Belt as opposed to the Eastern Corn Belt, because they're essentially done there.
Right, the Western. But I think in the Eastern Corn Belt, there's a little bit of switching. I don't think it'll be huge. I think we'll plant most of the corn that people said they would.
What do you do with new crop corn? Anything at this point?
Well, I think, you know, we've tried to have our customers, you know, hedged 25% within the next week or so. I'd like to be 50% hedged with some option strategies that we're using right now. And then maybe July we can have another weather rally if that's going to happen.
You're hedging on how much of the crop? 25%, but 25% of expected norm?
Yeah. So you're 25% of expected norm, and I'd like to have 50%. And if you're not doing that, I would be on 25% and 50% of your insured bushels.
You're telling me that while the marketplace seems like it wants to be bullish, that there's an awful lot to be scared out there about. What are the fundamental reasons not for the for this market not to move higher?
Well, I think the fundamental reasons is that we are going to get the corn planted if we have good progress this week. The genetics of the corn seems to be that, you know, even if you have some sort of adverse conditions, you still have a good crop. And so, you know, that's the thing that's going to, like Pete said, if it's going to be the yield now, not if we're going to get it planted.
Pete, I want you to take me through your fears with China and the soybean market. What are you watching, and what do you think it means?
Well, China has been buying huge amounts of our beans for the last, I don't know how many months, and they continue to buy here because South America either doesn't want to sell it or doesn't have as big a crop. And they are supposedly, they extended this buying into June. The question is not known whether that was the first week of June or the last week of June. If they would stop buying, there goes 40 to 50% of our soybean sales each week, and that would hurt the old crop beans a lot.
It hurt the old crop beans, and would it make the Informa number of 77 million bushels that was released earlier in the week defunct?
I think it would have something to do with that. Yeah, I question that 77 million bushels.
What do you think it should be?
I think it ought to be somewhere a little bit just lower than where USDA has the numbers.
Mike, you agree?
I definitely agree, and I think the other thing you got to look at is, you know, China is buying beans, and the U.S. supply is going down, but is the world supply going down? It's not. I mean, we're basically selling beans, and China is storing beans. I mean, they are using what we're selling them, but they're also storing what they got. So the world supply is still at 14.5% stock to usage, even though the U.S. supply is getting tighter.
Would you be a willing seller of old crop soybeans at any point, and at what price point?
Well, I think you sell them now. I mean, we sold them as we went up along here, and I think Pete's right. If you knew the day before when you were going to hear negative news of China canceling beans, which I've heard rumors they have canceled some from Brazil, but once they quit buying, it's downhill because in yesterday's export numbers, China bought 79% of our beans. So once they quit, it's downhill.
What do you hear about the wheat market at this time and the start to harvest season?
The wheat market worldwide, we have enough wheat, but in the U.S., our wheat in Oklahoma and Texas isn't very good, and it's suspect, and that's really pushed our wheat higher. We've also had problems getting spring wheat planted, so that's helped hold things up, but it's the soft red wheat that's been the star lately, and I think it is time for that, you know, at this 620 area to 630 area, we ought to be either selling cash or hedging new crop wheat.
You're listening to a special holiday edition of Commodity Week. It was recorded Friday, the 22nd day of May, 2009. Our panelists right here in studio are Mike Giorgi of Allendale out of Mohammed, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. On the phone line with us from his office at Purdue University is Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Chris.
Well, Todd, always great to be with you.
Now, how far along are farmers on a Friday afternoon? And we'll hear this report a couple, two or three times over the weekend and on Monday, too. But how far along on a Friday afternoon might they be in your area?
Well, I think the problem is for really getting huge advances in terms of this weekly report that we'll see coming out early next week is that we didn't get all the week to work. Yes, we have seen 50% of the corn planted in the state of Indiana in a week, but that's when we had 7 days of good working activity. I think at best we're going to have about 3 days, and so I think this optimism that we're going to be up 70-plus percent for Illinois, Indiana, may not be at that level. Again, we saw some start of field work activity on Wednesday this week. More got in on Thursday, but there's a tremendously long way to go. And again, we're going to have to see how that comes out. And I think we can't deny that we do have some terribly late planted crops this year, corn, I should say, and that does make any kind of weather problems more problematic in terms of yield reductions. I think the corn market has to be talking about certainly below trend yields. It's not to say we will if the weather is above normal, but I think we have to be talking that at this point.
The economists here on this campus have been working to try to figure out what that below trend yield number might be for this state. Have you been working with the agronomists there to figure out what it will be for Indiana?
Well, we sure have. And again, I think you're referring to Darrell Good in his newsletter this past week, and would sure recommend everybody grab that because he did a very thorough job of trying to work through statistically. I think the first thing we all have to say is that it really yields of corn and beans really depend on the summer weather. Planting date can influence that, but if we have very good weather, we could still get back to trend yields. Now, essentially, that's what Darrell was saying. But you'd have to have weather that was good and good at the odds of about 1 out of 6 years, the best year out of 6 years, and you could get Illinois yields back to normal. So I think that, he was looking at about a 22-bushel decrease if the weather was normal because of the late planting in Illinois. Our numbers were coming out between 10 and 15 bushels. We used 12 here in Indiana at the midpoint. Again, I don't think you can be talking 20-bushel potential reduction in Illinois, 12 or so in Indiana. Then you have to add the other late states without saying there's an impact on national yield potential.
I talked to Darrell, and he suggested that maybe I should come back to him as a reporter a bit later because they're still statistically working on that, so more to come from he and the FarmDoc team here on campus. When you take a look at the national yields at this point, how much do you think, if any, it might have dropped off from what USDA is predicting so far?
Well, we did hear mention there on the panel of 152. That's kind of a range, not a range, but a level that I just put a number on. And I'm also willing to back off some corn acres. I think there's lots of reasons why we would talk about backing off corn acres with the late planting, with this huge surge in old crop soybeans that certainly have attracted a lot of producers' attention. That's not new crop prices. New crop has come up, but when you look at the returns for new crop beans versus perhaps some lowered yields from late planted corn, beans look very good, and you have substantially less investment in those. I'm putting, at this point, 1 million acres less corn, putting that virtually all over on soybeans. And I think we are beginning to say that corn, this corn crop, is in jeopardy. I drop 1 million acres on the corn acreage. A 152 yield puts us at an 11.7 billion bushel corn crop in the United States. That's a 400 million bushel loss. We do not have the ability to take that loss without some pretty big implications for the livestock sector, our foreign buyers, or the ethanol industry next year. I think we do have a vulnerability on this crop. And, boy, weather from here on out is going to be absolutely critical. So we've got more dynamite, I think, in terms of volatility on these crop prices going all through the summer.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather this week was just what the doctor ordered for producers and gardeners across Illinois. The last of the rain moved out of Illinois late last Saturday, and other than a few sprinkles in northern Illinois on Monday, it had been dry with a capital D. In addition to the lack of rain, temperatures finally reached normal to above normal levels by the middle of the week. The warmer weather was combined with dew points in the 30s and 40s, unusually low for this time of year. That, along with plenty of sunshine and breezy weather, led to high evaporation rates and significant drying in the soggy areas of Illinois. Even if we don't see another drop of rain this month, most locations in Illinois will end the month with normal to well above normal precipitation. Dry weather will likely persist through this weekend, with perhaps a chance for some scattered showers late Sunday night and on Monday. Right now, though, the rain threat does not look too serious, but the forecast depends a lot on what happens to the low-pressure system that has been plaguing the Gulf Coast and Florida this week. If that stays far enough south, rain should stay out of perhaps all but southern Illinois. If it takes a more northward course, then the threat of rain will increase in Illinois early in the week. Once this system does exit east, though, it appears high pressure will once again dominate our weather for several days. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
You're listening to a special holiday edition of Commodity Week. It was recorded on the 22nd day of May, 2009. Our panelists in studio today, Pete Banhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois. And our guest on the line is Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt. Chris, when we left, we were discussing potential dynamite in the corn market. Can you lay out that scenario for me, please?
Well, sure. And again, I think Pete and Mike have given some really good background on what really we're going to get corn in the ground. I think it's not going to be as many acres as what the March intentions had suggested. I think there's lots of reasons why producers would want to shift over to soybean acres, or at least some more soybean acres. And that is added to if over the next few days, if we get just a few showers that delays any more on the corn planting. And when you look at these numbers on corn, we can't miss a beat now on weather. When you look at a usage base at 12.1 billion, the first numbers that USDA came out with, as I said, when I'm looking at 11.7 on corn production for this year, given what information we have at this point, that says we're just right on the verge of having to sharply reduce usage. The users, the livestock industry, extremely poor financial situation there. The ethanol industry, already negative margins for that sector, and of course our export business. I think this really is setting us up. If we have further weather problems this summer, for the administration through EPA to look at the 2010 renewable fuel standard of 12 billion gallons, EPA administrator has the opportunity in November, December each year to decide whether we'll have the capacity to produce enough ethanol. This would really reignite the food versus fuel debate, and it would be up to the administration through the EPA to make a decision on whether we do or do not have enough corn for RFS in 2010. So there's some big issues. I think we all know that. It's not just food. It's fuel, and we've got a lot of demands. And ironically, the last 6-8 months, we've been thinking we had too much corn, wasn't enough demand as we saw the demand erosion. Now we may not have enough corn supply.
Chris, Pete here. It sounds like last year. Last year we were poorly planted in Illinois here in our area. We got most of our corn in May 15th to May 30th and had record yields in central Illinois. And beans were also almost record yields planted late. Is the hybrid so good that it doesn't matter when we plant? And the other question is, how about all this stuff planted out west? We have three of the top four states all planted early. Will that help their yields go up a lot so that we'll have plenty of corn?
Again, I think the quality of the hybrids is what most producers think will help compensate, that it can take stresses, it can compensate, and still make good yields. I think we have to go back and look at last year as certainly late planted, but also we had a cooler and a wetter summer than normal. So that helped enormously compensate to bring us back to normal or above normal yields. Again, just like last year, I think the market was very worried early on with the late planting. It tended to not have a problem. This year, are we avoiding the concern about late planting? And the answer will certainly come in the summertime. But I think, again, we just have to really see this growing season to say whether or not we can have enough corn to get through the kind of demands that we have for next year.
So
on the bean side, I think you're exactly right there, both Pete and Mike, saying it's all up to China. But, if you run any kind of projection at the current pace, if they keep buying, then this is where we really could pull under 100 million bushels of soybean carryout. And if that were the case, then that says old crop beans probably have not peaked yet. But again, the key is to watch those export numbers every week and see what China's doing.
USDA has been reluctant to say that we ever have anything that low. I think the lowest I can recall is 105. Would they really do that or just recalculate in some other form?
Well, again, we don't know exactly. The export numbers, again, we could see cancellations from China. They have about 9% more hogs now, where a lot of that soybean meal is going, as they produce buy soybeans and crush and provide meal for the hog industry. So they have enormous inventories there. The hog profitability is not good, and they're trying to keep hog prices higher, get them to levels that are at least profitable. We see the dollar continuing to weaken here recently. I think this also says that we could see other players in the world even get more aggressive on buying soybeans here at the tail end of the year. South America doesn't have them this year, particularly Argentina. So those are the unanswered questions. And we have to look to China and what those weekly numbers say, but they certainly haven't let up so far.
Well, that's true. What about the fact that if we do plant 1 million acres less of corn, are we going to see that in the bean crop? And do you feel that there's some of this already in the corn price, or how high are you thinking this new crop could go?
I think the market certainly has built in a smaller size of crop already. And what I sense on the corn is that we don't have the power to the upside we had a year ago. These end users are just simply at a breaking point in terms of the hog industry, the dairy industry with the very low milk prices, and others just can't really afford much higher prices. I think that really limits the upside potential this year because some of the end users will back down very rapidly. The soybeans, again, I think what we're going to see there is you're really going to see the acreage increase more than the numbers we've had for a couple reasons that have already been mentioned. And then I think South American acreage is going to pretty dramatically increase. And so as we get into our crop, we'll probably see overall declining prices on beans. But what that means is we still have probably the next 30 to 60 days to make some highs on the old crop and the new crop.
On the world economy, we just saw that Mexico dropped the first quarter by, what was it, 20-some percent, one of our main buyers. Japan was down really hard. So was two or three other places that are our main buyers. We talk about all this people needing our stuff from across the pond. Are we really out of the woods yet in the economy, and are these people really going to be able to buy as much as we thought they would buy from us?
Well, again, there's more uncertainties than you can shake a stick at in this kind of environment. But certainly the Mexican economy really had poor performance, very poor performance, surprisingly bad in the first quarter. The H1N1 virus is certainly affecting them also more heavily in Mexico and in the economy there. We do have other parts of the world, I think, that probably are going to get a benefit out of the declining U.S. dollar. We've seen the euro increase in its strength. And I think there's a general tone out in the world as you look at stock markets to say that while we're not perhaps even to the bottom yet, the rate of descent is slowing. And we are approaching that point over the next several months or perhaps late summer when we'll be at the bottom. A long way to go on the general economy still, as you point out.
Any final word of advice for producers who are working hard in the fields at this time?
Well, again, I think we've tried to encourage them to stay with the corn planting if they can get it in here in May. I think we have some great opportunities in terms of pricing and really a much better overall outlook for the agricultural crop production sector than we had going through the winter. So we've gotten some recovery. That sure feels good.
Chris, thanks much.
Thank you.
Chris Hurd is Purdue Extension Ag Economist, joining us from his office in Lafayette, Indiana. Now, a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Well, be careful out there planting, whether you're just starting or finishing, and be ready to put prices with puts or with cash underneath good prices that you can get from the elevators.
And Mike Georgie of Allendale?
I'll have to agree with Pete 100%. Be careful. It's a long weekend, and try to enjoy some of it with your family.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week, something to keep in mind. You can always access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Todd Gleason. Hope you had a great holiday weekend.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.